Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then, playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And as my man, Mr. Keith Wright, very eloquently put it, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, folks, it's been a wonderful week of sports, and, you know, it's getting close to that summertime period. And, you know, you have all the summer programs getting ready to start. You have, you know, your off-season activities taking place. You have all these various things going on. Nike had their huge EYBL, I think it's EY, Elite Youth Basketball League, showcase and tournament this weekend. I haven't seen who were some of the players, but quite sure it was a huge event, to include a number of other things that took place around the country. But, you know, and looking at all that, it still comes back down to, and it boils back down to, what are we going to do as parents or student athletes? You know, that's the key part. That is the valuable part that we must ask that question each and every time, each and every day, each and every opportunity that we have to ask that question. We ask that question every time our child steps on the court, on the field, you know, in the arena. You know, you have to ask that question. What is our responsibility, and where do we come into play as parents of athletes? Folks, because if you don't ask that question, then you'll really and truly miss out on being able to provide your child the best possible service, as always. This evening, we're going to talk about some early recruiting. And this question came to mind, and something that popped up with me, because I looked at a number of things that's happening, and I will attend an event tomorrow night where you have a recruiting service. Or I'm not sure if it's really a recruiting service. I'll find out more about it. Have a potential recruiting service coming in to talk to a number of middle school and high school student athletes and their parents. And in doing so, you know, I question at what point and what focus will the presentation be made. Will it be made to the parents? Will it be made to the student athletes? Will it be made to the family as a whole? Or will it be made from the standpoint of they're trying to sell you a service and they're going to tell you how they can help you get the best out of that situation? Well, parents, you know, Parents Coach to Parents Network was formed and founded on that principle of educating, guiding, and assisting parents and helping them understand that they can do the majority of that stuff all on their own. You know, there has been a number of us that have gone through the process, still a number of us going through the process, and even more so, and what's so amazing, and I'm just so happy to know that there's still a number of us that's still connected to the process, and we're still trying to share our insights with the next generation of parents that's coming along. So, that being said, we're going to move on with our show. You know, if you want to call in, join the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-0095. Well, I was saying earlier that we're going to talk about the early recruiting period. You know, and just so happened, I noticed an article that was, and I think this article actually came out of, it was actually on ESPN, ESPNW. You know, ESPNW is geared towards our young ladies. But this article came out May the 12th, which would have been Thursday, May the 12th, 2016. And the article is titled, Coaches Taking Aim at Heartaches and Hardships of Early Recruiting. What exactly does that mean? You know, or coaches taking aim at heartaches and hardships of early recruiting. You know, and I was reading a post that young lady posted up on social media in reference to this particular article, and talked about how she has a coach, and hopefully she'll get a chance to call in this evening and share some more additional insight with us on this particular article as from her perspective as a coach. She stated that she has a coach, had a conversation with another coach from another team, and the coach inquired on whether or not her athletes played all year round, or whether or not, you know, what did her athletes do at the end of that season. And she said her athletes moved on to participate in another sport. You know, for the most part, the majority of her athletes went on to participate in another sport. And the other coach gave her the impression that there was something wrong with that, or, you know, that's why that they were not as good as his players, because his players played all year round. Well, that's what we have gotten down to. That's what the situation has boiled down to, where athletes seem to think that they need to play all year round with the great hope that they're going to be seen. I've actually had a situation where I coached a middle school team here recently. And, you know, I was just trying to figure out, okay, who was the players at the school and who was the folks that was really and truly interested in coming out and, you know, doing a little something for the school. And, you know, just letting them know that, hey, this is where, if you do have the talent and you do have the skill, this is where that all starts at. But I had a young man tell me, no, coach, I'm not going to play on your team because y'all practice the same time that my AAU team practice. I said, well, and I tried to explain to the young man, just simply letting him know that, you know, you have your AAU and your other outside sports programs that goes on. Hey, all well, fine and dandy. But starting at the school level is going to be more of a, I wouldn't say a guarantee, but I would say more of a benefit to him, to help him prepare for playing at the high school level. Mind you, we were at the middle school level. Playing at the high school level, which would take you on to playing at the college level. But he was under the impression that because he played on this AAU team or travel club team or select team or whatever we have, that he was in a better position. Not realizing that at the end of the day, No coach is even going to entertain his skills or his ability, being able to see that he has the grades to even make him qualified or make him eligible. You know, we're going into this phase now where the NCAA is stepping it up and they're requiring the 2.3 grade point average. You know, and I think that at some point in time, and to all my listening audience out there, you know, I will be trying to push forth with a campaign to try to drive the high school's requirement up to at least a 2.3 grade point average so that these young men and women will be prepared at a bare minimum going into college. Bare minimum. If they get that part out of the way, then, hey, everything else for them should be gravy as long as they have the desire, skills, and talents to go on and play at the next level. But getting back to that young man and talking to that young man, you know, just simply let me know that, hey, you know, he played AAU ball and there's scouts that come out to his AAU team and they look at him and that's how he's going to get recruited and that's how he's going to end up going to college. And I'm like, young man, you have the whole process wrong. But that all came from somebody convinced that young man that that's how the process went. Somebody convinced the young man at some point in time at one of his games. Now, mind you, he probably was playing on a 13 and under team, 13U team or 12U team or 11U team or whatever. So I can't see where he would have had a college scout watching this game. And if the college scout was out watching that game, there is a major problem. There's a major problem. Watching a sixth grader or a seventh grader program to see, okay, if you can pick up a kid from there, there's a major problem. But going back to the young man again, and talking to him, he was so convinced that he was on the road to success based upon, I guess, what his coach had shared with him. Folks, when our kids start to believe these little things, this is where we come into play. This is where we reel them back in. This is where we help them get a better understanding. And no, not to say that, hey, you have to necessarily come out here and play the middle school, play on the middle school team. You know, nah, we're not trying to force your hand to play on the middle school team. But just to understand, your success is not going to start solely by you playing on some AAU program. I've seen many young men go through and they played AAU and played AAU and played on these select teams. But when it came time for them to participate on a high school team, they didn't have the grades. But each and every year, the young man was out there playing on the AAU team. I know this for firsthand because, you know, I often gave him a ride over to the gym to where he was practicing. Or, you know, he at one point in time came to me and inquired on whether or not my son was going to come out and play on their team. He said, hey, Mr. Scott, you know, can Mike come out and play with us? You know, and I'm like, you know, I don't think so. And I think my strongest reservation on that was simply because that coach was convincing this young man that he had an upper hand or, you know, that he had insight on making things. And we're talking about a young man that was just barely getting into high school, you know, coming out of eighth grade, going into ninth grade, going into 10th grade, in the same situation each and every year, uneligible to play high school sports because of the simple fact that he didn't have the grades. But each and every year he's played on the AAU team. You know, I've watched a young man where he came in and coming straight out of middle school, he came in and was the starting quarterback for the high school team as a freshman. And I wondered, how is that so? How is he the starting quarterback, first of all, as a freshman on the high school team? With him not having to come out, try out, prove himself, and all these other things. He just fell right into the spot. But here's the kicker, folks. And parents, I really want you to be very mindful of this situation. Each and every year, the young man will play during the football season. Because the football season happens during the first semester in high school. Second semester will roll around, and we're talking about late January or early February time frame. Second semester roll around, and that young man will not be able to finish out the basketball season because somehow he will end up on the basketball team. Not be able to finish out the basketball season because the grades from the first semester will now be made available and he is ineligible to play. But for 4 years, he was eligible to play during the first semester. Someone had set his schedule up so that he was able to play, or that he had all his easy classes, as they would say, had all his easy classes from February through June. So his grades looked like he was a very sharp young man. And all his hard classes, which was his core classes, the bulk of his core classes, was on the schedule from September through January. So as a result, every year when that second semester rolled around or at the end of the first semester, he was ineligible to play. Parents, again, why do we allow our children to fall into that situation? You know, this early recruiting period where folks are out looking at our kids, or our kids are under the assumption that, you know, they need to be out there playing, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade year. You know, realistically, and looking at a comment that a colleague made in one of the social media sites, said that, you know, recruiting shouldn't take place until at least the junior year. I would back it up and say mid to late sophomore year. Junior year, you got the recruiting period. Coaches get out, take a look, see who's who. You know, early senior year, you know, you're starting to close up, close things out, and figure out who you want to pick up. And them signing their senior year. But the way things are currently set up, are committing in their freshman year. You know, kids have the pressure on them that, hey, if you don't commit, you may not make it to our program. You know, all these other things, that pressure is not only on them, but it's also on the family, which to me is really the biggest distractor. Because if you haven't been a part of the recruiting process, the family is brought into this system and brought into this process. And every twist, turn, moan, groan, gripe, grape, you know, every little situation that athlete goes through, the family also. I just recently seen a situation where a young lady, and I was working with her, and a lot of times what I basically had to tell her and try to get her to understand, it's all about patience. It's all about patience. It's all about being patient. And when you're in this system and when you're going through the recruiting process, you have to wait for the coaches. You can't force their hand. You can't, make them make a decision any sooner or say anything of that nature. You have to really wait for them to, just come along and make their decision on what they wanted to do, what they want to do. So that's, that is something that we really have to understand. But far too often we miss out on that opportunity because, a lot of parents become impatient and you can't afford to be, can't afford to be impatient. Yeah. And once you become impatient, then you miss out on a whole lot. But yeah, that is definitely a situation where you have to learn to be patient. It's not an optional thing. It's a must and it's a plus. Getting back to this early recruiting period. This early recruiting period, where kids are getting the pressure of thinking that they have to be involved and they have to play all year round. And if they're not playing all year round, then they're missing out on opportunities. That needs to really and truly be governed a little better than what it is because our kids are thinking that. And as a result, they're stressing over that. And as they stress, they bring that stress into the household and parents start to stress and thinking that they're missing out on opportunities. And you can talk to a lot of parents, and I'm a very firm believer of this. A lot of parents believe that, allowing their children to get into some cross training, that's one of the things that I like to do. I encourage athletes to cross train during the time that they're going through the recruiting process. And if they can cross train, then that's awesome. Because it gives their body a chance to recover, give them a chance to develop some additional muscles, give them a chance to just basically, loosen up and work on another part of their body and bring some balance, or bring a balance to their body as an athlete. But far too many times, our athletes stay in the same sport, don't do any cross training. Don't do anything that help them develop other parts of their body, and they miss out, and they miss out on the opportunity. Well, folks, if you want to give us a call, you can always give us a call 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you. Hit option one. I see we got a number of folks on the line. I'm not sure if they want to join in on the conversation or if they just want to listen in tonight. And I'll be checking with them here shortly and see if they want to join in on the conversation. Got a few 757s that's on and a few other folks. Well, as always, I got to go ahead and do my little infomercial time and just get some other information out there and just let you know that there's other things going on. So we'll be right back here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and we'll be right back.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
What is the NAIA? The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, we're back. You know, I had to go ahead and throw that little plug in there for the NAIA and let you know that there's a program out there called the NAIA. Believe it or not, it's so funny that so many parents and athletes alike don't even know anything about the NAIA. And the NAIA is a program where it equals the NCAA. It doesn't have the same financial resources that the NCAA may have, but it has a large number of schools, and it has a Division I, Division II, and Division III programs as well. And, you know, just check into it and see what you can find out about the NAIA. You know, National Association for Intercollegiate Athletics. That's the NAIA. Just let you know that, you know, there's schools out there for every young man. Well, folks, we're going to get back to what we was talking about the early recruiting period and how athletes can, you know, I mentioned something about the pros and cons of the early recruiting period, but I haven't seen too many pros that's associated with the early recruiting period. I've seen, you know, more things that are detrimental to our athletes as we talk about the early recruiting period, you know. And sad to say, it's not something that they can, you know, really and truly benefit from, you know, this early recruiting period. And I shouldn't say early recruiting period. I should say early recruiting time frame where, you know, here it is in the, you know, 7th and 8th grade, they're out here trying to worry about whether or not someone tries to recruit them. Really? You know, let's think about this. Let's look at some of the real factors. Okay, say for example, your athlete gets recruited and 7th grade. Now we're talking about let's throw a name of a school out. No one necessarily has to throw a name of a school out. Any school gets recruited in the 7th grade. Now what we have to remember, that athlete still has a better part of 5 more years, 6 year, at the 6 year he'll be in college. 5 more years of high school. In that time frame, how many times have we seen the whole makeup of the coaching staff turn around, the whole makeup of the school's program turn around, all these various things? You know, parents, I'm going to be real honest with you. When
you know, you hear folks say, well, you know, if my son gets a chance to go to that school, that's a good school, and I'm going to send him to that school. Well, maybe that's the case for our young ladies, because our young ladies are a little more academically inclined and a little bit more diligent in their studies. And I have to give all hats off to them for being that way. But you know as well as I know, our young men aren't quite that way. Our young men focus on their sport and then wrap in the academic side of things if time permits. Or should I say when time permits, because time has to permit, because they have to maintain that level of eligibility. So, in saying all that, you have a situation in that five-year window that your child has committed to school X, University X, and you have this five-year window. Okay, during this five-year window, you see the situation where the coach gets fired. And that could happen 2-3 times over in that five-year time period. All depends on what's going on in that school's program. Or that program can go down. You know, and what I mean, that program could go down, where go down to the point of where all of a sudden that program is not the premier program anymore that everybody once thought it was. They're struggling. They can't get any decent recruits to come in there. But your child has committed to that program. Now, truth be told, the child's committed but hasn't signed anything. So it's not like, you know, okay, hey, this is a do-or-die situation. You know, you'll never get out of it. No, your child has committed to the program but not necessarily signed. So that's a strong possibility that you can get out of it. Why would you even allow your child to commit to a program knowing that he or she, and of course, you know, I'm have more focused on the he side of things, may not even recognize that program at the end of that five-year window. This is one thing I say to moms and I say to dads all the time. When you're looking at a program, I understand that the school may have very high credentials and all these other things, and you may have read a lot about the school, and you may have been there to truly support the school, and you may have even been an alumni of the school yourself. When you're looking at a program and your child is looking at this program, and for whatever reason, parents and for your child alike, don't make a very strong connection with the coaching staff, that tells you that that may not be the program for you or for your child. Prime example, I'm going to give you a real story. My son was being recruited, and in 2005, we took a trip up to a very prestigious school, a very well-known school, a school that has claimed many NCAA titles and was on the verge of going after another one the year we took a trip up there. So we went up to the school, and, you know, our tickets, got our tickets, went in there, have a seat, and, you know, the coach acknowledged us sitting back there behind the bench, so on and so forth. And I said, okay, this may work. While my son was, you know, looking at, you know, how things was happening in the arena and, you know, how the athletes was playing and whether or not he could fit into the scheme of things and all these other things, while he was looking around, checking all that out, kept my eye on the coaching staff. I kept my eye on them for a sole reason, because I need to know who is my child going to be with for the next 3 to 4 years. because mind you that this school wasn't like right around the corner from where I was living at the time. So as a result, I had that concern, as all of us should as parents. All of us have to have as parents. It's not an optional thing, parents. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just simply saying it's something that we have to do, because why waste 18 years of your life if at the end of the day you're going to turn your child over to someone and expect that person to continue to maintain grooming your child and trying to instill that character and those morals in your child and add value to your child's life that you have been doing for the last 18 years. So, in saying all that, as I was at this school and we was watching the game, I noticed a few things. I checked out the coach's bench decorum, and simply put, you know, the coach wasn't a very pleasant guy while coaching the game. You know, he not only used terms that I don't even use when talking to my children, but he used those very same terms and phrases and words towards his coaches. So I had a real problem with that. At that point in time, that was truly a shutoff for me, because I looked at the situation and said, okay, if he's comfortable with saying these type of things to not only his players, but saying these type of things to his coaches, then my child would just be joining that bandwagon, would just be joining right on in on this situation or in this situation where that same type of abuse will continue. And I just didn't feel that. And I had to let my son know. I said, you may have had a good time at the game. You know, may have had a great opportunity to meet the coach, sit and talk to him, so on and so forth. But I don't think that would be a good fit for you. And in all honesty, he said, Dad, I wasn't that impressed. Now, mind you, there was at least 3 or 4 NBA draft picks on that roster at that school, particularly the year we went and watched the game in 2005. But just simply due to the character of the coach, it was a turnoff for my son as well as a turnoff for me. And I was just happy to hear that it was a turnoff for him, because that showed me that he's not going to sit back and take those type of things. And you know, you have that type of situation when you start talking about, you know, your early recruiting and early commitments and, you know, these kids thinking that they're trying to get, you know, the inside track on who is who and who's going to do what. Again, you have to realize that that coaching staff may not be there later on down the line. Well, folks, I think I have a caller on the line, and I'm going to plug this caller in and see if this caller has something that he or she wants to add to the conversation. I think that's area code 757. The number is 470. And I'm going to bring that caller on the line and see if that caller has anything. And hopefully that caller has something they want to bring to the conversation here on the Parents Go to Parents Network. Good evening. Welcome to the Parents Go to Parents Network. Area code 757-470. Hello? Hello, caller. You're on the line.
So I'm calling.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling in reference to the conversation for our early recruitment.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
sir. What's your thoughts or comments?
What's the age that you think is appropriate for recruitment?
All right. Well, when we're talking about early recruitment, you know, when you say age appropriate or grade level.
Appropriate. Grade level.
Because you think about it, we can be talking about two different things. You know, if you have a young man that for whatever reason.
I'm a young lady.
Okay. Now, when we talk to young ladies don't go through it as much of it as many of our young men do. But I would say, let's looking at their sophomore year, coming out of their sophomore year, going into their junior year.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I say that, because if we're looking at anything prior to that, you know, have they really had a chance to really focus on and get a solid academic background, you know, at the high school level? Because
I understand.
Once they get to that point of being recruited and the coaches are out there and the coaches are you know, trying to entertain your child and all the other little things, sometime we as parents, you know, we want to keep them, you know, involved. So they'll go straight from high school, from the high school sport to a spring sport, the same sport, into a summer league or whatever, and it's an all-year-round thing. Meanwhile, they're not building, you know, academically. So that can be a hindrance to them. And the reason why I said, you know, all depends on grade level versus, you know, age. If you have a young man that may have been reclassified and he's 16, 17 years old, which would normally have been sophomore or junior, okay, you know, hey, let him go for it, you know, because that may be his last shot to go ahead and, you know, get into that recruiting pool. Did I answer your question, sir? Okay.
Yes,
do you have anything else that you want to add to it?
Earlier you mentioned about grades, about playing sports.
Okay.
My daughter, she's currently in honors classes, but she plays basketball all year round, and she plays AAU ball, and she plays Future League, but she maintains it all. So, where's for her team, it's grades are a requirement. We're required to show a report card every time we come out.
That's great. That's great. And see, that sounds like you're in a good program. Now, as far as playing all year round, me personally, I would look at something else. You know, just mm-hmm. give the body a chance to heal. And you know, without going too deep. What grade is your daughter in?
Sixth right now, going to seventh.
Sixth grade? Okay, going into seventh grade. Okay, so she's just about at that age or that stage in life where her body may be going through some changes as well.
Right.
And you and I, we didn't go through the same changes or adjustment body-wise that a lot of young ladies go through, you know, when they're playing sports. And, you know, we go through growing pains when we start having problems with our knees, you know, young ladies go through and they start having problems not only with their knees in some cases, but with that joint right there where the hips are at as well. Yeah, if you notice, young ladies will have more hip flexor problems than young guys will, just based upon their bodies going through the changes that they go through. Why I often encourage off-season cross-training or additional sports or, you know, some other sport where you get a chance to really strengthen other muscles other than, you know, the ones that you use, you know, on a regular basis playing your primary sport.
I understand that. That makes sense.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in.
All right.
Stick around, listen to the program. All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
Well, that caller had some great questions, and we truly appreciate that caller calling in, joining us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. You know, and hopefully I was able to answer, you know, some of his questions, and hopefully I gave him some good sound advice, you know, and just some things that I have experienced, and I wish I had some of my ladies call in from Mothers of Athletes, because I know they have quite a few young ladies in their program that have played at played basketball at a very high level, and some of them are still playing at a very high level. Looking at some of my callers here, I got on the line. Let me see who else here. Area code 203-771. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Hello? Hello? Well, I guess that call is not interesting. Hello, caller. Guess that call is not interesting in joining in on the conversation. No problem. No problem. All right. Let's try someone else. Code 703. 625. Welcome to the Parents Code of Parents Network. Hello? Well, folks, there ain't no reason to be shy out there. You know, just join the conversation and have fun. Ask a question. There ain't no reason to be shy. If you got a question or something that you need to share with us, please, by all means, hey, we're here to support you. We're here to provide as much information as possible. You know, and like I always like to tell everyone out there, hey, if I don't know the answer, definitely. I'd be willing to bet you 99% of the time I can find someone that does, find someone that has had that very same experience. That's the whole part of networking, folks, being able to work with and through each other, being able to share our experiences with other parents around the country. That was the whole ideal and concept of me putting together the Parents Coaching Parents Network, was to make sure that parents was involved, parents was informed, parents had a game plan of how to map things out or help their child map things out, you know, moving forward in this very serious world of college recruiting, or should I say very serious world in sports. Well, folks, I'm gonna step to the side for a second, and we're going to come back, and I want to talk about something else real quick, but I'll be right back in a hot second.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
...with college athletes, but it's practiced as young as kindergarten.
Coach, we go! We go! Go!
Redshirting. Parents delaying the beginning of school for their children or repeating a grade to gain an eventual physical edge.
So this was just for sports?
It was just for sports. What we looked at was you get very few opportunities in life that you can manufacture time. We were in a position and had the opportunity to give him another year to work towards achieving his goal.
I think he's has the body to do well, and his, you know, physique, I guess. I mean, his body right now, He passes the eyeball test, I guess is the best way to put it.
Some, including a Hall of Fame coach, say redshirting just is not right.
You know, I have a trained eye, and watch the five-year-old, I can't figure out what we have there other than the five-year-old.
I just hate to be cast as this sports villain.
Today, Outside the Line.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Thank you.